Well, first of all, let me just thank Pastor Hamilton and his wife and of course all of you for what you have done for us for many years, and we cannot do what is due you, and the Lord will. And just talking with Brother Peary about his wife, and he said, yeah, she's with the Lord, you know. And I know that she did so much for us and her prayers, and she was just constantly sending us little notes of well-wishing and things which being conveyed from you. So you folks have given, and I'm sure some of you have, maybe many of you have given sacrificially for the mission work, and not only us, but others as well. And as someone brought out again this morning, that we can't remember the things, but the Lord does. And the Lord will, he will surely remember what each of us has done for him. And to him be the glory. A couple of days ago, as I thought about this meeting, I thought, well, what should I present to you folks? And I was thinking more in terms of a message, and I was praying, you know, the Lord, you know, bring to my mind, what should I do here? And then I was going through my computer looking at some messages, and I came to the presentation that I gave some time ago, and I said, well, that's normal. I mean, that's what I'm supposed to be doing, is telling you folks a little bit about what we have been involved in on the field. And that would be the normal thing. You have good preaching. You have good people here who can break the word to you. And hopefully we will leave something from the scripture before we close this morning. But we want to convey to you just, if we can, very, I guess, informally, how things have played out and what we actually do in day-to-day life on the field. And most recently, I'm talking about a few years now, 6 years in Turkey, and before that, of course, we were in Cameroon. But I want to speak mostly about Turkey this morning. And we went there, and we had a couple of contacts, but no one really to come in with and work beside, so to speak. And we were a little apprehensive about, you know, where we're going to live and how this is all going to work out. And the Lord, we saw the Lord's hand in undertaking for us, and just many, many different ways. I don't want to prolong this, but if some of you younger people are thinking about going to the mission field, and you go, oh, how would I ever do this? Well, you could do it with the Lord. And if the Lord, you know, is leading you, or you feel like the Lord is impressing on your heart to do mission work, or maybe just sometimes a full-time Christian work, it wouldn't have to be mission work, then if the Lord is doing that, then try to remember that He will do it. He will help you in those deficiencies that you feel in yourself, and rely on Him. And I was telling someone not too long ago, I said, there's been numerous times that we have faced difficulties, and it seems like the Lord would be praying, Lord, help us with this or that, and He would take us almost to the cliff, and then He would, you know, He would save the moment. I don't know. It would just kind of he would help us in what had to be done. Kind of recently, in fact, is us going to the UK. We've had quite a number of documents that we had to get in order to furnish the government to get over there. And it was more than I think we've had to any of the other countries, or Cameroon, or even Turkey, I think. And so because of the virus, things are just seem to be so in turmoil, and you cannot get to where you need to go on the web, or you cannot get anybody on the phone. And just the other day, we had sent my information off to the immigration. And we were saying, oh, no, I wonder what else they're going to ask for me, and what else we're going to have to get. And then a couple of days later, my visa comes back. And we were jumping up and down, you know, going, wow, I can't believe this. I don't have to get any more documents together. And the Lord has done that, you know, for us so many times. Yeah, a little moment here. To parallel this, we were over in Iraq a few years ago. My son was teaching English as a second language, and I had an opportunity to speak to some, it was all Muslim guys there. They were learning English. My son said, you want to say something to them? I said, he says, you can teach today. And I said, fine. He said, what can you? He said, I said, what can I say? He said, you can say anything you want to, just don't use the word missionary. And it was just kind of a no-no word. And what I came up with was, I stood up in front of about 20 guys and I said, the Lord has been so good to us. The Lord has been so good to me and my family. And I think that's what I left with those Muslim guys that day, is that God is good. And God's good to all of us, isn't he? He's good to all of us. He's good to you here. You've come out today. And I would assume most know the Lord. If some of you are here and you don't know the Lord, then the Lord is good in allowing you to be here to hear things about him today. So let me move on. But the Lord is good, and he does help you, and he will help you if that those times may come. And he helped Brother Ken more recently, and he continues to help Brother Ken, and I'm sure many more of you that we, if I knew those situations. So Turkey, we were there for 6 years, and Bonnie was doing homeschooling at that time, and she's going to say a little bit more in a few minutes about her work as in the ministry and what she was doing and how things turned out for her. But in bringing this kind of gathering things up for you this morning, I look at Turkey, I look at it as, yes, certainly evangelism. Yeah, that's why we were there. That was the key focal point, to evangelize, to work in it. But also there was church-related ministry, and that came through a local church that we finally was able to connect up with about halfway in the 3 years. After about 3 years, we found a local group, and we were able to be a little bit of a part of that ministry there. And then a third topic would be ministry of helps and encouragements. And again, Bonnie will say something about that, because she was the key player in most doing most of those things. But first of all, evangelism. How do you go about, how, Randy, did you approach that? And the people, the Muslims there in Turkey are, in the larger cities, are kind of, they practice Islam in a marginal way. It was a good bit different than in Africa, where Brother Paul came down to visit us there. Every Friday, all the town would close down in Africa, and people were praying. And also during times of the day, the call to the prayer would go out in the village, and people were praying. And in the big cities of Turkey, we did not see that. They were more less dedicated to their religion, so to speak. But out in the village areas, the rural areas of Turkey, we had a few visits out like that, and it was on Friday we were out there, the call to prayer came out, and everybody quit work, and the whole village, the whole town was coming to the mosque to pray there. So it depends on where you're at in Turkey as to what the outplay of how things are and the Muslim people there. We found one thing that was surprising to me, what we found in Turkey. I went there thinking, because they were a more modern nation, with just like your town here, being so modern, that they would know more than the people in Africa. It's in terms of religion, in terms of Christianity, the background, the Bible, things. It was not so. It was not so. Though they are modernized in their big cities, they are totally dark and lost in their religion, and without religion, without true Christianity. Think of a girl, Velika. Velika's father is Russian. Her mother and father now live in Macedonia. Yeah, she's Macedonian. We first met her on a bus trip. And this kind of highlights on one of the ways evangelism, what we're talking about. Met her on a bus trip early in our time in Africa there and became friends with her and her mother and her son who were traveling back to Macedonia. We were taking a trip down to visit some sites in that direction. And so we met Velika and began to witness to her. And I said, oh, you probably know the story about Lydia. And don't you? And she said, no. And her mother was sitting about 5 feet away, she heard us talking. She says, we've been under communism. We don't know anything about the Bible. I was sitting in an airport down near the Syrian border and waiting to get my flight back to Istanbul, where we were living. And a young man had sat down, or I think I sat down beside him, and I was just practicing a few Turkish phrases that I knew. And actually, I wound up, I had enough just to, you know, say hello, where's your home, who are you going, those kind of basic things. And he said, well, I'm going over to Cyprus. I work in a restaurant over there. I do restaurant work, you know, helping serve and things like that. And I said, oh. And I had, in his language, in Turkish, I had a parallel Bible, and in John 3:16, I said, can I read you something here? So I read him phonetically in John 3:16 to him. And I had, actually I think I had copied it out on a piece of paper. And I said, he looked down, and I had at the bottom, Johanna 3:16, John 3:16. And he looked at me, he said, are you Johanna? That's funny, but how sad, isn't it? That's funny, but just think of, and he's 23, 25 years old, and he thinks I'm John that wrote this here, John 3:16. And there are some unusual circumstances that, in trying to evangelize, go forward about 2 years, and I'm on the plane of going back to the U.S. here. I forget what it was. Maybe it was from some family matters or I forget what it was. But anyway, I was by myself. I'm sitting beside the guy in Istanbul. And I said, he's a nice, handsome young guy, about 30, 35, you know. And he sits down and I say, you speak English? And he says, yeah, I speak English, you know. And so we began to talk. And so I said, have you ever read the Bible? He said, yeah, I read the Bible. And he said, I've read it in English, I've read it in Turkish, and I've read it in French. I said, wow, you know, you've done that. And so we began to talk, and I said, well, how did you do this in French? And he said, well, I went to a French school here in Istanbul, and it was taught in French there. And so we talked on, and I'm talking to him about, you know, the Bible. I'm talking to him about how to go to heaven, from earth to heaven. And, okay, that's another extreme on, you know, people know it, people don't know it, but some people do. And you say, well, how, Randy, did these things come about like that? I think the Lord placed that man beside me. His name is John. I'm communicating with him now. We still communicate with people that we met, and Bonnie will give you some two or three illustrations too, that some she met, and we families that we have connection with. And so evangelism, the way that it has worked out for us there was different than what Brother Paul saw. We would go to a village and ask the chief of the village, can we have a little meeting with you? And I believe you recorded for us Brother Zane giving the gospel in Arabic there when you were there. I'm only the only visual I know that we've got like that there. But he was there with us, and he saw how that was going, playing out in that part of the world, quite a bit different. But still, the main ingredients is get an audience, get a hearing, preach the gospel, and do that wherever you are. And so, yes, this guy that I met on the plane, we're having conversation with him now by email. And he actually, I had said, can we have tea when you get back to Istanbul and I get back to Istanbul? And he says, sure. Well, that was 2 or 3 years ago. When we got back, I emailed him, and it didn't go. And then, just a few months ago, Bonnie says, "Did you know this email from Turkey?" And I said, "Who is it?" And he says, "John." I said, "Yeah, I know John. I met him on the plane." And so I quickly emailed him back, and just 2 months ago, we started this conversation, and we still are doing this, and we're talking about. I try to give him Bible things. I try to give him a verse. I try to point him, towards God and things like that to get his memory. So as I'm saying these things, then this should help you to know how to pray for us in this, is that people that we have communication with by email, principally in Turkey now, by email that way, and even by phone at times, then you can pray that the Lord will bring to these people's minds the scripture that we have given, the truths that we have given them, and that they'll have an interest in their heart to want to know more, and that the Lord will give them the desire to follow, to the end of this, where this is leading here. So in the evangelism, that's some of the things, the way that we met people often was out in the public, and one of the things that we lived in an apartment, of course, and found that the way to be able to evangelize is don't stay in that apartment, get out. And maybe Bonnie will mention something about some of the things that she actually did in order to meet people. And she could tell you perhaps about Zanep. And she's a young lady who she still has contact with today. And it came through one of those occurrences where she got out of the apartment, went and did something there. Let me move on now to this thing about church ministry. But we met people in the public. We met people on the ferry boat, we met people on trains, the subway, buses, and we were trying to have a long time relationship with these people, not just meet them, talk with them, and do whatever, but to have a continual relationship so that we could teach them and instruct them further in what we were telling them. And I do believe, if I'm correct, your wife was in Turkey, right? And you called, I saw your email. I was in Africa. This is before I ever went to Africa. I went to Turkey, and Suzanne was witnessing to a young lady. Am I not right? Yeah, I think that was right. So he worked in Turkey before we worked in Turkey there. He was there and ministering there. And the people were very and are very open to conversation and biblical conversation about Bible things. And that was one of the things that I think surprised me, is that it was easy to have people to enter into conversation with there, more easy than I would say here in America is. And that helped us. Just that one of the things you say, well, why was that, Randy? Why is that? Why would that difference be? And I would say there was one thing, and that was our language, our English. Of all the languages we could know, English is not a bad one as far as evangelizing around the world. And I did not realize until we went to Turkey that the world is really grasping for English. Grasping for English. Please teach me. And so Bonnie and I, when they heard us speak English, we were blue light specials. They would almost come to us. And that was young people and some older people. And that worked for us. A second thing that worked for us was our age. Can you believe that? You can actually have an asset by being older when you go to Turkey. They still respect age there. And you could have a conversation with a young person. We met two guys on the ferry boat. We were crossing the channel there one time. And I just went out on the deck where a couple of young guys were out there. And I said, "You speak English?" And they said, "Yeah, I speak a little English." We talked for about 5 minutes, and they said, "Would you like to have tea with us when we get on the other side?" I said, "We would love to have tea with you." Now, these are 20-year-olds, college students, wanting to improve their English. And Bonnie, who understands Turkish somewhat, and I don't understand a lot, but as they were walking out, like they were saying, "You know, where did you get these two?" And so we go and we have tea together. And this is just out in the, you know, going through town or going traveling about there. And I don't think we had a lot to be able to help them, but it does show the opportunity that is there. It's there today. It's not as easy to get in and to stay there. There's people being kicked out currently. There's people who are going the other way. It's kind of like it's going like this, but there are opportunities there today. And to say that it's closed is that would not be correct. But to say that that you certainly can get there and you can stay there, if the Lord wants you there, the Lord will get you there, and the Lord would help you to stay there. But there are opportunities. There are many, many opportunities. We have good friends, and we have Korean family that we met and became very close with, and it was through Bonnie getting out with Hannah Lillian, our daughter, for homeschooling. She got into that group and met this family. They're Korean, and they are evangelizing, would like to evangelize Iranians, and are. They have classes and currently are still doing that there. And so Iranian refugees who came into Turkey who are there, who want their children and them to themselves too, to learn English, they're having classes, and they have a ministry with people like that. So there's varied and different types of ministries there today in Turkey. Let me just move on now with the church ministry there in Turkey. We went to an international church, and an international church there is kind of it often will be a group of missionaries and a few Turkish believers there. That's the way it just turns out. And so what you have here in America with evangelical churches, they are represented over there. And so you have what's represented in evangelicalism here would be transplanted over there, so to speak. And it was a place where there are believers there. Most of them were believers, but their music may not be to what we prefer. But they preached the gospel. We heard good messages in these churches. But we were wanting something a little more to our tradition of where we come from. And so the Lord, I was praying about that especially. I was just burdened that I needed a group where I could be. It would be more to what I was thinking. The Lord brought to our mind and directed us to a little group of people. And the pastor today, that church was kind of gathered up and started by two conservative, fundamental missionaries who went there, stayed for about maybe 4 years on the average. And for different reasons, I think one of them health reason, the other one just took a different move. But they got that little group together. And so they left, and there was no one there, and we had visited that early on going there, and the Lord brought that group to our mind, and we went over and visited and began working in that church somewhat. And the The pastor there, he allowed me to begin to preach through a translator, usually once a month, sometimes twice a month. And so that gave me an opportunity to be able to minister to believers, but also I think almost every service we would have people, young people, college-age students who would come in and be in that service. So it was interesting because after a typical church service there, in the way things go in evangelical churches there, is that after the service, there will be some refreshments. There will be tea and coffee. And getting in mind, this is about 30, 40 would be a big day, but maybe 20, 30 people, 20, 25 people. And they would have food brought in, or they would bring refreshments. Sometimes my wife would bring things. And that was every church, I think, that we went to, that was it. And so what are you having there? You're having fellowship. And you actually wind up sometimes, and even the pastor said this, he says, there's actually as much ministering going on at that, people eating, little things and drinking coffee and talking about people. And there'll be young college students who come in, and they're interested in knowing some things they've never heard before, or the Lord may be speaking to them, and they want to know more. And so that's the time when they have that opportunity on one-on-one across the table, not in front of everybody, but one-on-one. And Bonnie and I both, I think almost every Sunday, because the young people often, college age, they were English, they could speak English pretty good, and many of them could. And we had that ministry with them, and we always seemed like almost every Sunday, without doubt, we were talking possibly, generally, somebody that was unsaved, that was not a believer, And so that was a big opportunity for us to be able to minister the gospel, teach people. And I want to stop right here and see if I can pull up a slide, because I was going to show you more, but maybe if we can just, do I need to start this, brother? Okay. You recognize the guy there in the green jacket. Okay. So, like Brother Paul had done for Brother Zane and myself, when he took the visual of out in the bush of Africa, of evangelism going on, that's what I'm trying to do. I didn't know, but Bonnie had taken her phone, I guess, and we're on a train, a metro or train one, and I was trying to talk to somebody about the gospel, and they, because of my English, they picked up and began to converse with us. And what I want to do now is just to run on but again saying, this is how a lot of that played out in Turkey. Will it play out that way in the UK? I'm not sure. I don't know. But I wanted to bring Africa. We have a very few slides for Africa here, but just to remind you here. And I emailed Brother Paul. He didn't get the email. I said, do you have that picture? It just came into my mind. Do you have that picture of you on the bike? And he never got the email, but I did find him on the bike. And actually, we've got Suzanne's head clipped off here. I'm sorry about that, but that is her on the far side there. And going back to Africa and their time, and Bonnie and I were just reflecting again on how good and how supportive your pastor has been to us through the years. We appreciate all that they've done for us. Bonnie, doing Sunday school in that church that the Lord opened up for us, and the girl behind her is Iranian. She's not a believer. We have conversation with her today. Her husband is a believer. She's not, but she was very open and is open to us talking to her. And right before we left, just a few months ago, I had an opportunity to sit in the park. Bonnie and the husband were sitting where Brother Paul's at, and so I just sat down on the park seat and went through the gospel with her. And she listened, and so she's heard it from outside, but she made the comment. She says, well, you know, I'm paraphrasing it, but, you know, I'm not such a bad sinner, you know, like I'm not a bad person, you know. And so you could pray for the lady who has heard the gospel, who understands much, but yet has not reached her heart yet. And again, Bonnie, who took on the job of teaching. In this church, they were not teaching their young children. They were not having a Sunday school class. And I feel sure that there were some people in that little group who could have done this. So on one of the last Sundays we were there, Bonnie was sick, couldn't go there. And so I said, I'll teach them. I'm not prime anymore. And I told the people, I told them, I walked upstairs and I said, look at me. I'm going up here and I'm going to teach these kids. What a mistake. These three or four kids were going this way and that. I thought, well, blessings on these people who take care of the young children. But do you know, a lady and a man, I think, at least one of the ladies picked up, and we saw slides of them going upstairs and teaching the young children. So we can be an example, you know, that we may not be able to do it ourselves, but we can be an example. And Bonnie, I'm going to just ask you to come up now and pick up on some of your ministry there.
These are all young missionary wives. And it's a pretty lonely life in some of these countries. And I'm older. I don't get lonely anymore. I have my best buddy there. But some of these young girls, and so for 3 years, we had a ladies' conference once a year. Oh, forgot that. We had a ladies' conference once a year, and these are some of my girls. And I'm still in communication with them, and probably our next ladies' conference will be in England. But I just wanted, and we have so many stories we could give to you, but I want to remind. What I wanted to say is Dr. D said, how do you work with Muslims? There are so many of them out here now in America. How do you work with them? And his thing was, you just need to love them. And we found that so true. And I find that so true with people. I was going to tell you a couple stories, but I don't have time, but there are so many stories. If you'll just love them, and that costs time and effort and having them in your home. And taking the time. And it works with Americans too. Just recently we've been going to a small church in Indiana while we've been home. 5 months we've been here. And there was a little girl I sat down with, 22, in the church. We were having an after dinner fellowship and started talking to her. Mixed up as the day is long, has no idea where she is, been going to charismatic churches, Jehovah's Witness background, totally mixed up. But you know what, I said, why don't you come over to our house, you know, and have dinner with us? And I didn't think she would accept. She's 22. I'm a little bit older than that. And she said, yeah, I'll come. And she's been to our house twice now. And just spreading, you know, the love that is there in the Lord Christ Jesus. It's a troubled time in our country. And people need the love that we have in Christ. And so my main challenge is to you, just get out there and do it. In Turkey, I did sewing classes, cooking classes, pottery classes, anything that would get us out in the public. Traveling, touring, shopping. My shopping trips, I would divide them up so that I'd have to go out every single day and go to the same place repeatedly and meet the same people repeatedly. And just all of that. Just get out there and be a loving, approachable person. The other day I met a girl at Walmart dollar store somewhere. She looked so downhearted, and I really think the Lord said, you know, you need to say something to her, and I didn't. I regret that, because I could have said something for the Lord, because she looked like the end of the world had happened to her. But I just encourage you to just go out there and just love people and talk to them and open up. And they'll open up to you more than you will ever believe possible. And we just had so many opportunities in Turkey. Looking forward to it in England. Going to be doing the same thing, having people into our house, joining a quilting class, cooking class, sewing class, knitting class, whatever I can do to be out in the public, we'll be doing. And so.
Okay, thank you, Bonnie. Coming to a close here. I want to just run forward. This is a class that we were doing English to teach people English. We asked the church people, maybe this would be something that Bonnie and I could do. She would take the ladies, I would take the men, and we would teach them English. And so I think we had actually a combined class. And this man in the lower right hand with a dark jacket on, I'm going to show you another. He came for that class. He was, I think, about in his upper 70s there. He came for that class, and most of the rest of them were younger there. But his name is Awesome, and we named him Awesome Awesome because that's what he became to us. And this man, he was sick about a year ago, and he was in the hospital, and the pastor of this church where we were attending went to see him, and it was evident this man was not going to last very long. I don't know if it was alcoholism or what it was, perhaps that. And so our pastor there, he witnessed to him, he told him about the Lord, and so the man, when he came out of the hospital, our pastor, he said, I didn't think he'd get out of the hospital. And so he came out of the hospital and he came to church. Now, what's also interesting is that he owns the apartment where we were meeting in a little storefront apartment, and he owned that. And so the pastor paid this man for the rent of being there. But our pastor took the time to go to the hospital. And I believe it was at that time at the hospital there, looking back, that Awesome came to trust the Lord. Well, he came out of the hospital, miraculously, came to church, and he had worked in Germany and knew English, and he knew English well. But his speech, because of some of his health problems, a little bit slurred, but his English was really very, very good. And so the pastor said, Randy, do you want to teach him? And I said, sure, I speak English. And so Awesome came to that English class that we were teaching, and things dwindled away from the young people, and it was down to Awesome and one other. But Awesome kept coming. And so what I decided I should do, I wasn't trying to evade it, but I was teaching them Bible. I was teaching them Bible verses, you know. And Awesome was just taking it in. And so I would, you know, do a brochure of, you know, John 3:16 and dissect it and talk about it or something like that, a passage, and we would use that. And so Awesome was coming, and I said, Awesome, did you keep that brochure? He says, yes, I've got it right here. I've got it with me. I brought it. And so he kept all of that instruction that I was bringing, you know, and over, I guess it lasted for him, maybe 6 months or maybe less than a year, something like that. And so each time I kept telling Bonnie, I said, Awesome is just amazing. And do you know that he brought more people, at least in my eyes, to that church? And I'm only talking about a half a dozen, but when you have 20 or something, you know, and he brings his friends to the English class, and I'm not sure what he was telling them, but they were coming, and we were talking about the Bible. And I would just go, when this new person, a friend of his, a businessman, a banker, had been in banking, but he was kind of semi-retired, or the government retired him, I don't know. But a very, he was an intelligent man. And he came, and so I'm telling him about the gospel. I'm telling him about what it takes to go to heaven. And so he brought at least a half dozen or more, and some of them would come back over and over. And Bonnie and I were going, this man is doing more than these other people are doing here. And I say, what is that evidence of? To me, I think it was a true change in his heart. You notice I'm talking in the past tense, because Brother Awesome, I could tell you other things he did. We went down into the little community, and he says, let's stop and have tea here. Okay, we'll have tea. You know, sidewalk cafe with the things outside. We kind of went inside. The lady who worked there, she comes out, and he says, give her one of those papers, you know, on the brochure of the Bible. So we give her one. Yeah. And so different things like that. The last time we saw him, he said, I want y'all to go and eat with me. Okay, we'll go and eat with you. So we go to a fish restaurant, and it's very nice, and we're eating outside, very nice meal. And Mr. Awesome, he's still smoking, but, you know, we're you have to think where people are and where people can go. But Brother Awesome, I think, was truly, he and I said, okay, Awesome, we're leaving. And I said, if not here, there. And he said, yeah, if not here, there. Well, the Lord took him a few months ago. We got word that he had passed away. And you have enabled us to be there to encourage that man. The Lord, I think, used our pastor there to reach out to him, to give him the gospel. And so we talked about the gospel. We reinforced. What do you teach a man who is this far, you know, you think? I mean, what does Brother Paul teach somebody who may be that far? You don't go into a lot of theology. You don't go very deep. You start at the very basics, the fundamentals. And those fundamentals, some of them are, is that the promises of God. Brother Awesome, you have put your faith in Jesus. Brother Awesome, if you pass away, where are you going to, we're going to go there. Those are basic things that, you know, we would teach to people like this, like that. And so, Awesome is just, well, he was awesome, you know. And you say, do you think he really believed? Did the thief on the cross believe? Do you think he's in heaven? Of course. And so, if this man, and I believe he was, I believe he was truly had put his faith in the Lord Jesus there for salvation. Been a life, probably not the best life, but which of us have lived, you know, the greatest life? We're all sinners. We're all in that class there. So I'm going to end now. I will just flip through. I've kind of run out of time here, but some of our other contacts that we had, Iranian family, and then the Korean family on the right there that we have close contact with. Again, we had a couple of young students who came for the summer. We had interaction with them, taking them out and in the public there. Spent some time and helped them see what life was like on the mission field. A believer who the Lord had saved years before, and we had opportunity to host her in our home. And she is teaching. She's a scientist. What is she, Bonnie? Oh no, she studies the stars. but anyway, a very intelligent young lady, and unusual way the Lord led her to the Lord, been a Christian for 10 years now. Now she has been brought into the city area where this pastor, where we attended church, she's helping there. She brings young girls in rooms in her dorm where she stays. She's probably in her early 30s, doesn't have a home of her own, single girl. But the Turkish girls in her dorm, she's evangelizing, she's talking to, very reaching out to them and bringing them to church and teaching them and evangelizing them there. So the Turkish people can do it. The Turkish people are doing it through the Lord's help. Masses out there, and those people, the greater majority of them, would have no idea, you know, how to go to, well, they can tell you what they think about going to heaven, but it wouldn't be the right thing. It would be what Islam teaches. Bonnie said just a little bit about the UK and how do we envision our time there. We will be working among Pakistani people, is what we think. There's many of them there in Bradford is the town, the city. And we are imagining using some of these things that we have done in Turkey to be able to reach out to people in Bradford there. Whether that will turn out that way, I don't know. We'll be working with Art and Debbie Cunningham. Do you know that name? Okay. We'll be working with them and hopefully being an encouragement to them as we get there. How will this COVID virus play out there? I don't know. It's limits us here. So in some ways it will be limiting us when we get there, and the Lord knows. But Lord willing, I have my visa in hand now, and we're waiting on Bonnie's, hopefully in another week or so. We're hoping it will come. So how to pray? Pray that the Lord will advance hers on so that we'll have that in hand, and then we will we will get some airline tickets to go over there. So you could pray about the next 3 or 4 weeks, our travel and getting over there and getting settled. We'll need to get an apartment. I need to get a car. Pray that the Lord, and Bonnie pointed this out recently, she says, pray especially about where we locate, because that will be instrumental about, you know, these people you can meet and cross paths with people, all this involved. So just pray that the Lord will guide us to that apartment that he wants us to have. And I think he did that. I'm sure he did that for us in Turkey. So pray that the Lord will help us in as we go forward in that. Okay, I want to end with this. In Acts chapter 26, beginning of verse 15, Paul is before being tried here before his judge, Agrippa. And so it's the latter part of Acts. And so he's given an opportunity to speak. And so he's talking, and he's recounting the fact where the Lord calls him. And in verse 14 it says, "And when he had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light.'" And that's what Bonnie and I, we envision ourselves as going to the people's knowledge is darkness, and we want to turn them towards light and from the dominion of Satan. Bonnie was, we were talking, I think, yesterday, and she said, why do you think that person thinks that way? Or how could they do that? And I say, well, if you remember before we were saved, we could have done that and not thought about it either. And so people are bound by Satan. We're chained by Satan until the Lord releases and brings us, releases us. "And that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me." And then Paul says, "So, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision." And you can pray for us that the Lord will help us to be faithful like Paul was faithful, and like some of your elderly folks here have been so faithful to the Lord here. Pray that we'll be like you are, that we'll have that that desire to shine for other people, to give other people the light that the Lord has blessed us with. So thank you, and the Lord bless you. Brother Paul.